This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic Daily News Brief for Monday, October 12th, 2020. Today you'll hear about the NFL going full handmaiden on mask regulations. A Washington judge throws a wrench into LGBT tyranny. A D.C. judge grants Capitol Hill Baptist an injunction. Biden says he ain't telling what he'll do with the Supreme Court. Pelosi is talking about the 25th Amendment. Does anyone know what that is? One guy's projecting a Trump landslide in November. And the NBA commissioner says the BLM revival meetings will probably cool off for next season. Remember, if you come across a news story you think we might need to cover, please send it to news@crosspolitic.com. This is a great way to share articles and stories with us that may end up in our daily or weekly shows, news@crosspolitic.com. The NFL adds 15-yard penalties for inadequate burqa wearing by coaches.
NFL officials can now flag coaches 15 yards for improper mask wearing. This is a judgment call disaster. Can you imagine if your team loses because a coach is trying to talk to an official to call a timeout or dispute the time on the clock and his mask falls down and the official throws a 15-yard flag to take the coach out of field goal range or to kill the chances for a late drive? We already have too many judgment calls that decide games in the NFL. Pass interference feels like every game, all of us end up arguing about whether it was appropriately called or not. Roughing the passer. Last night, the Bucs got screwed on a roughing the passer call. The players and the coaches are around each other all the time. If an outbreak happens, it's not going to be stopped because a coach wears a mask for 3 hours on the sideline during the course of an NFL game. This is cosmetic theater. It is illogical. It makes no sense.
Cosmetic theater is right. Washington judge blocks LGBT tyranny. James and Gail Blaze hope to foster and eventually adopt their great-granddaughter, initials HV. After HV was born back in 2019, concerns about her welfare arose. The Idaho Department of Health and Welfare ultimately removed HV from her birth parents' care and later reached out to the Blazes about possibly fostering or adopting her. The Blazes expressed an interest in caring for HV, so the Idaho Health and Welfare asked the Washington Department of Children, Youth, and Families to evaluate the Blazes for a foster care license to address the needs of foster children who are developing, discovering, or identifying themselves as lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or other things. The department has promulgated several regulations and policies the department staff and foster parents providing foster care services. The Blazes, though, are devout Seventh-day Adventists. They don't believe in that nonsense. Following a home study, the department denied the Blazes foster care license application because, as it turns out, their answers were Christian and based on common sense and science and not the Baal worship of the Washington state. The court, therefore, has blocked the department, this is the ruling that came down, blocks the department from categorically banning foster parenting by people who have objections to homosexuality or gender confusion, and also enjoins the department, July 2018 policy rollout questions and answers, to the extent that it's inconsistent with this order. That said, the court does also, and does not enjoin, that is, the department from taking LGBTQ Baal worship considerations into account when reviewing foster care license applications. So basically they're saying you can take it into account, you know, if you're offering babies to Molech and Baal and so forth, you can take that into consideration, but it cannot be the sole determining factor, right? You have to be polytheists. You can't only worship the god Baal. Anyways, they have to factor that in. It must base its decision on something more. If the only factor weighing against an otherwise qualified applicant has to do with their sincerely held religious beliefs, the department must not discriminate against a foster care applicant based on their creed. The department must make reasonable accommodations for other religions besides their own, especially in cases like this one, where the potential placement involves a biological family member. It's their grandbaby. Anyways, a reminder that all the talks from this year's Fight Laugh Feast conference, Weapons for This War, up in the club member portal. And if you're a club member, you should be just enjoying those. If you're not already a club member, what are you waiting for? Go to fightlaughfeast.com, become a club member today, and get access to all the talks from Doug Wilson, George Grant, David Bonson, Jeff Durbin, Glenn Sunshine, and more. Next year's conference has been scheduled for October 14th through the 16th back in Franklin, Tennessee. Start saving your ducats now. Mark off those dates. Next year's theme is politics of sex. In the meantime, check out this year's talks. DC judge grants Capitol Hill Baptist temporary injunction to meet outside. A DC federal court late Friday granted permission for a large DC church, that's Capitol Hill Baptist, to resume worship services so long as they stay outside, saying the city's coronavirus restrictions banning church services of more than 100 people, indoors or out, appear to violate the church's religious exercise rights. Capitol Hill Baptist Church has around 850 members and doesn't believe in online worship services. Good for them. It's been meeting in a field in Northern Virginia. They've been running out of town. The D.C. District Court's granting of a preliminary injunction allows the church to meet outdoors en masse in the city where most of its members live while the lawsuit moves forward. The church was not seeking a class action, and the decision, which can be appealed, applies only to Capitol Hill Baptist. Capitol Hill Baptist, which had twice sought a waiver before suing, centered its argument on comparing D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser's ban on religious gatherings over 100 with her toleration and even encouragement of massive anti-racism protests over the summer. Her religion was accepted. Her worship services were allowed. Capitol Hill Baptists were not. The church's brief notes that Bowser appeared at a huge anti-racism rally in June, that the city police have been assigned to such events, and that her office has not enforced its own ban on outdoor gatherings of more than 50 people, so long as it is in keeping with the worship of the gods she prefers. The district argued that Capitol Hill Baptist has other options, such as breaking into smaller groups for services or meeting online, but the district misses the point. It ignores the church's sincerely held and undisputed belief about the theological importance of gathering in person as a full congregation, wrote Judge Trevor McFadden. Hey, good on you, Mr. McFadden. The district may think that its proposed alternatives are sensible substitutes, but it's not for the district to say that the church, what the church's religious beliefs about the need to meet together as one corporal body are mistaken or insubstantial. Right. It's not Washington, D.C.'s job to interpret for us what Hebrews means when it says not to forsake the assembling of yourselves together. Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Biden says the voters, though, don't need to know whether he will pack the Supreme Court. In fact, he said they don't deserve to know.
I've got to ask you about packing the courts, and I know that sure. You said yesterday you aren't going to answer the question until after the election, but this is the number one thing that I've been asked about from viewers in the past couple of days.
Well, you've been asked by the viewers who are probably Republicans who don't want me continuing to talk about what they're doing to the court right now.
Well, sir, don't the voters deserve to know?
No, they don't. I'm not going to play his game. He'd love me to talk about, and I've already said something on packing court. He'd love that to be the discussion instead of what he's doing now.
As Matt Walsh quipped on Twitter, so voters have the right to know about the president's personal tax returns, but they don't have the right to know whether a guy who wants to be president will toss out 150 years of precedent and forcibly reshape our nation's highest court for political reasons. Okay, cool. Got it. Meanwhile, Pelosi announces intention to invoke the 25th Amendment. And a lot of Americans suddenly were like, there are 25? On Thursday, Pelosi had previewed her intentions, announcing that she would be talking about the 25th Amendment. Radical. She's going to talk about it. Which allows Congress to remove the president from office if he's deemed unfit for his duties. It's there. I checked. Pelosi cited Trump's health in the wake of his recovery from COVID-19 as her reasoning for the move. Right. I'm sure that's it. Speaking at a press briefing Friday, Pelosi and Representative Jamie Raskin from Maryland introduced legislation to form the Commission on Presidential Capacity to discharge the powers and duties of the office. Raskin introduced a similar bill in 2017. Raskin's been introducing this bill a bit for a minute. This is from Discern News. This bill honors the duty by creating a standing commission. Oh, a standing commission of top former executive officials and medical experts selected in a bipartisan, bicameral way, Pelosi said, while getting her hair done without a mask on. I'm just kidding. A president's fitness for office must be established by science and facts. Ha ha, that's funny. This legislation applies to future presidents, but we are reminded of the necessity of action by the health of the current president. In order for such legislation to move forward, it would need the support of the Republican-led Senate and Vice President Mike Pence, which is to say it doesn't have a chance. White House physician Dr. Sean Conley announced Thursday that the president has responded extremely well to treatment and that Trump would be cleared to resume public engagements this last weekend, per CDC guidelines. Kevin McCullough, I've never heard of him before, have you, predicts a Trump victory. And according to one fella online, he's been accurately calling Electoral College votes since 2004. Who is this guy? Anyways, he calls himself Binge Thinker, obliterating confusion, amplifying truth, pursuing clarity. Well, that's really nice of him. He says, if you believe the polls, this is his Twitter account, if you're so, that's five O's, confident that your ticket has this election sewn up in 26 days, why would you need to begin discussing the 25th Amendment? Oh, yeah, Pelosi. To remove a lawfully and overwhelmingly elected POTUS, at Speaker Pelosi, asking for at Joe Biden. He followed up that post with his own Electoral College map, where he predicts a bloody red landslide. 331 electoral votes for Trump, he says, at the minimum, actually a maximum, maybe at least 326. New Mexico is likely for Trump. He says Oregon and Colorado. He actually says likely for Biden, but all three of those states, he says, are maybes. But the rest of them, he says, Trump's got 326 states locked in. Biden's got only 191 locked in. You need 270 electoral votes to win the election. FLF Magazine. Remember, we unveiled the brand new Fight, Laugh, Feast magazine at our recent conference. It's a quarterly issue that packs a punch like a 21-year Balvenie. Have you even gotten one of those yet? I've been telling you about it. No ice. Don't even do it. We don't water down our theology, so why would we water down our magazines? Why would we compare magazines to scotch? Well, because this is not the lukewarm evangelical Kool-Aid that your friends have been drinking. Every quarter, we promise quality food for the soul, wine for the heart, scotch for your eyes, and some Red Bull for turning over tables or something. Our magazine will include cultural commentary, a psalm of the quarter, recipes for feasting, laughter sprinkled out, theological gut punches, and more. Annual subscriptions are just $40 right now for 40 issues. I'm told this price lasts through the end of the year. So if you want the $40 price, it's now. Do it now. Fight, Laugh, Feast. FLFnetwork.com. Click on product and find Fight, Laugh, Feast magazine. The NBA commissioner says that the progressive religious revival will fade next season.
We're completely committed to standing for social justice and racial equality. And that's been the case going back decades. It's part of the DNA of this league. How it gets manifested is something we're going to have to sit down with the players and discuss for next season. I would say, in terms of the messages you see on our court, on the jerseys, this was an extraordinary moment in time when we began the discussions with the players and what we all lived through this summer. My sense is there'll be somewhat a return to normalcy, that those messages will largely be left to be delivered off the floor. And I understand those people who are saying, I'm on your side, but I want to watch a basketball game.
This is Toby Sumter with your Cross Politic News. Remember to send us stories and articles that you think we should cover to news@crosspolitic.com. You can find this in all our shows, all of them, at crosspolitic.com or on our app, which you can download like thousands of other people have at your favorite app store. Just search Fight, Laugh, Feast. Support Rowdy Christian Media. Become a Fight, Laugh, Feast club member. Get your own Fight, Laugh, Feast t-shirt. Loud and proud, live it. And also get access to all the archives of our first annual Fight, Laugh, Feast conference, as well as lots of other cool content coming up. Become a member now, fightlaughfeast.com. Have a great Monday.